Hi, my name is Pete Redden, and welcome to The Way I Taught It, Next Level Aviation Knowledge in Microbursts. This episode brought to you by Vapor Global Aviation, creating tomorrow's pilots today through knowledge, application, and skill. Look into our newest offering for general aviation pilots, upset prevention and recovery training. 3 hours of ground training, coupled with 2 flights in our aerobatic Citabria. Look them up on Facebook and LinkedIn, Vapor Global Aviation, or contact us at vaporglobalaviation@gmail.com. All one word, vaporglobalaviation@gmail.com. On with today's topic, ACS tasks, operation of systems and equipment malfunctions. Welcome to another episode of The Way I Taught, on the road edition from Denver, Colorado. Currently, I'm providing exam services to a flying school located in Loveland, Colorado. Unfortunately, today, we are in the middle of a blizzard, and to keep myself productive, I'm recording some podcasts. So tied for the second weakest test area on exams that I give to both private and commercial pilots, it resides in the operations of systems and equipment malfunctions. I've wondered why applications are weaker than I expect when the requirements demand the same amount of knowledge, risk, and skill whether you're going for a private pilot certificate or commercial pilot certificate. The same demands on how the subtasks are tested in respect to the ACS are the same. Pause the podcast for a moment and look them up if you're able. If you're not able, keep driving that car. Don't start flipping on your phones. Don't start looking up things on your phone while you're listening to the podcast driving. So now that you've looked them up and you can see that these two tasks, both in private and commercial, they are exactly the same. They demand the same amount of knowledge, risk, and skill. So you're saying to yourself, Pete, private pilots are not held to the same standard as commercial pilots. How can this be? The answer is in these two tasks, they are the same standard. And here's why. When you have an in-flight emergency, the emergency doesn't say, I'll go easier or harder on you because you are a private or commercial pilot. Emergencies are completely unbiased. When they happen, their primary directive is danger through chaos. As a pilot, whether you're a private or commercial pilot, your primary directive is to address and solve the emergency in the most efficient manner and get back to safe and orderly. This requires the same level of discipline, knowledge, risk management, and skill, whether you're a private or commercial pilot. In both tasks, at least 3 sub-elements must be tested for knowledge. I equate that to the ground portion and operate 3 of the listed systems in flight. That's inherent to the flight itself. Be careful here. You must know all your systems. You must know all your emergency and abnormal checklists. And you must know your expanded procedures section of your AFM or POH. Not all AFMs or POH have these sections, but it is imperative that you know what sections you have available, what information is in them, and where to find the references and checklists when you are asked about systems or malfunctions. Yes, when you're sitting in your ground portion of your check ride, if you are given a simulated emergency or a simulated abnormal procedure, it is imperative that you pick up your POH and you reference your checklist. Let's look at operations of systems real quick. This will be an eye-opener for some of you. Under operations of systems, it is possible that the exam will cover up to 8 systems and associated components. If the examiner selects sub-elements C, E, H, that covers engine, propeller, fuel, oil, hydraulic, pedostatic, vacuum systems, and flight instruments. That is not easy to get through with memorization and recall. So how do you get through it all? Know the large chunks cold. Use references, specifically the PHAC and the AFM or POH for your aircraft as required to get the details when memory fails you. An example of this. Let's say you were asked to describe the engine and you provided the memorized IO 360 normally aspirated or turbocharged and or fuel injected air or liquid cooled horizontally opposed 150 horsepower engine. That is not the big chunk yet. That's just a memorized regurgitated answer. The big chunk comes when the examiner asks, how does a turbocharger work? How does liquid cooling work? How does fuel injection work? This is where the big chunks come in and you would describe the principles behind that system. That usually comes from the PHAC. Then after demonstrating the mastery of those big chunks, get into the AFM or POH and get specific about your aircraft with diagrams and information contained therein. So give the big chunks from memory. Have the PHAC out and referenced and say, hey, this is where I got my information from. And then have the airplane flying manual or the POH out for your specific aircraft and go, here's where we can go deeper. And you can discuss your aircraft specifically and how its liquid-cooled engine works or its turbocharger works. And that way, you show a cascading of big chunks of knowledge from the FAA and the smaller, finer details from your POH or AFM. Let's talk about systems and equipment malfunctions. Refer to the previous podcast on emergency to garner or refresh prior principles. First, anytime you are faced with an emergency, fly the plane, also known as aviate, also known as maintain aircraft control. Then analyze the situation, determine what indications you have, what those indications mean, and what checklist those indications are driving you to. Remember, the gauges on the airplane are how the airplane communicates with you. The checklists contained in the AFM or the POH are how you communicate with the airplane. So ensure that you're looking at your caution and warnings, ensure you're looking at all your gauges, and make sure that you understand what the airplane is telling you so that you in turn can communicate the correct checklist to it to have a positive and more desirable outcome. Going into your exam without covering every emergency checklist at least once in your training will create woefully ill-prepared applicant for your exam. Depending on the scenario provided by the examiner, they may examine you on systems knowledge through system malfunctions. For example, retractable landing gear malfunctions such as loss of all hydraulic fluid. You're going to fly the plane first, look at your indications, run the emergency extension checklist, and get the gear down in 3 green, and go land the airplane. During all this, the examiner may ask, well, if the system operated normally, how would that step be accomplished by the system? With a fully operating system, if it was an emergency, how were the gear kept down and locked? How did they get to that position normally? So you were given a malfunction, but you're being tested on both the malfunction as well as the system knowledge. And here's another thing. When you're dealing with emergencies, whether it's on your exam or whether it's in real life, we tend to kind of stick to the bread on either side of the sandwich and we forget about lettuce, tomato, onions, meat in the middle. Or if you like peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and jelly in the middle. When you have that emergency happen, that's one piece of bread. I have an emergency. Obviously, the other piece of bread is land the airplane safely and walk away without any undue harm to yourself or passengers. But as we know, the bread is kind of bland and it's the beginning and the end of the sandwich. But now we have to talk about what's in the middle. How am I going to fly the airplane while I do the checklist? What checklist am I going to do? What outcomes from that checklist do I anticipate? What happens if I get the anticipated outcomes, and how am I going to navigate to the airfield or my landing site? And if I don't get the anticipated outcomes from that checklist, now what do I do? Do I use a different checklist? Do I have to use pilot knowledge, pilot skill, because there is no checklist? So how do you process from one piece of bread to the other through the sandwich? And we tend to forget that as pilots because we say, we have an emergency, I want to land as soon as possible. But land as soon as possible comes after we run checklists, after we analyze the situation, after we determine what is actually going on in the time available to do that. One more thought. You may come across an emergency that does not have a specific checklist for it. In this case, take the information you have and find the best checklist you do have to address the situation. Some aircraft only have an engine failure checklist. You may have a situation where your engine is making partial power, say 2,000 RPM instead of 2,500 RPM at a cruise setting. So your throttle is set forward, you were flying at 2,500 RPM, now all of a sudden you're at 2,000 RPM. If there is no partial power checklist, then the engine failure checklist would be the most appropriate checklist in this case. In essence, the engine is failing to produce the power that you're demanding. So it's a failing engine. Go to the engine failure checklist. You'll be surprised that the pieces of information in the engine failure checklist cover everything that you would cover in a partial power situation, unless your aircraft specifically has a partial power checklist in the AFM or POH, and then you would have to follow that specific checklist. So here's my final thought. Be familiar with your checklists, specifically what emergency checklists are in Section 3. You have at your disposal and any amplified procedures that apply to those emergencies. Also, be familiar with your system section in the PHAC and the Airplane Flying Manual or POH for your aircraft. That's in Section 7 of the Airplane Flying Manual or POH, where the description and the schematics of systems are located. Another fun fact, all POH and AFMs are standardized. Section 1 is general information. Section 2 is limitations. 3 is emergencies. 4 is normal procedures. 5 is performance. 6 is weight and balance. 7 is always systems. 8 is handling and servicing. 9 are supplements. And 10 are safety tips. So every POH, every AFM is organized that way so you know exactly where to go for the information you need. Again, I'm Pete Redden, and that's another edition of The Way I Taught It. Thanks for making us part of your matriculation through aviation training. Fly safe, fly smart. That's The Way I Taught It. Episode references, private and commercial ACS, aircraft-specific airplane flying manuals, or POHs, for your specific aircraft, pilot's handbook of aeronautical knowledge, personal experience.